この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyone, this is Andy.
And I'm Kusei.
And you, of course, are listening to Japan Top 10. So today we are bringing you a news episode, and this will be our news for the winter of 2023. We hope you all enjoy.
But before we start, we have a couple of announcements to make. Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Nola, by sending her an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That's nola@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
And we aren't just looking for indie bands or artists, we are also looking for more team members. So if you are interested in joining our team, we urgently ask that you consider joining us. We are currently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and on-air hosts. So if you are interested in talking about some of the stuff you love, join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there, and you can check out all of our details at jtop10.jp/join.
Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that'll fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that'll suit your company's needs.
And finally, are you interested in getting the full episodes? I'm talking all the songs and more content between us hosts here. If you are interested in that, please join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club. Starting at just $1 a month, you can help support our podcast as well as get a lot more insight into Japanese culture and music. Well, thank you for joining me today, Kusei. How's it going?
Well, it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, winter.
Winter. We are here. We have arrived.
Yep.
And it has certainly been a busy news month, a couple months, it seems. So we are here to bring, of course, a lot of the headlines and things covered over in Japan and all of the news coming out there currently for our listeners. So I mean, without further ado, why don't we kind of dive right into our first little subtopic of titles, and that will be headlines from Japan. So, I mean, right at the top here, I'd like to talk briefly about President Xi of China and Kishida meeting at a summit. So the Japanese government recently held a summit with China, attempting to develop more understanding and change regarding current policies that have put both countries in tough positions. I think specifically economically here. And I mean, on the Japan side of things, they were hoping that these talks would influence specific changes from China and persuade them to alter certain issues from their end. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and President Xi Jinping discussed, for example, China's ban on Japanese seafood due to Japan's recent release of treated nuclear contaminated water, of course, resulting from the tragedy on March 11th many years ago. But also they wanted to address China's lagging economy, which is beginning to show signs of quote-unquote sluggishness.
The talks did not go very well, with neither party really leaving with any change opinions or ideas for reform. Kishida was noted to have been adamant about scientific soundness of the wastewater being released, showing almost disbelief and confusion at China's refusal to accept it. Kishida wanted Xi to look at and trust the science, while she remained apprehensive. By the end, she was not very receptive at all to the talks, and Japan remains vigilant at the increasing possibility that China may become the new leader of the world economy one day, which they are striving to prevent. China, on the other end, was hoping to look for new ways to strengthen its economy. These talks also showed the heavy reliance Japan has on the US, as some officials stated these honest and forthright demands would not even be able to happen if one of their closest allies, the United States, had closer relations with China. Luckily for Japan, This summit also proved to highlight the rift between the United States and China.
Yes, and ever growing and concerning, maybe is not the word, but definitely something to keep eyes on from both sides. I know our next headline kind of ties a little bit into those discussions as well, whether parties would want to admit it or not. But of course, it can't go without saying that there have been, you know, a lot of tensions between North Korea and Japan over the past couple months and years for that matter. So North Korea launched a projectile and what some are calling a missile that has flown over Okinawa Prefecture. The government announced this morning, that being the morning of the 21st, and believe that the event is related to North Korea's launch of a spy satellite. So North Korea claims the launch was successful, but Japanese military and intelligence are working to figure out if it was a success truly or a failure, if they're just kind of saying things.
This alarming process even led to a brief evacuation order to the prefecture, which was quickly uplifted once no threat was detected. Japan is deeply upset and condemned North Korea for their actions. They have also begun to protest, claiming that North Korea has violated UN resolutions due to their use of ballistic missile technology, even if it is just for a satellite. South Korea says it is likely that the North satellite reached into planned orbit.
Yeah, this is something that has been going on for many years, as maybe some of our listeners know. I had a close friend, actually, who was living in Hokkaido when some of the first kind of, you know, missile tests and things were going on from North Korea's side. And I remember talking about how unnerving it was to get an, you know, evacuation alarm that a missile might fall. Yeah, this is definitely just another ongoing point of tension between a few of our neighbors in that side of the world. On a bit lighter news, so Japan's men and women's football teams actually have been winning Olympic qualifiers. So both national teams have been steadily winning their qualifier matches for the 2024 Olympic Games, of course, in Paris, with the women's team beating Uzbekistan, India, and Vietnam, and the men's team beating Myanmar and Syria. Japan is the only country to have won every FIFA competition.
This will be the men's 8th shot at the World Cup, and it'll be the women's 10th attempt. The women's team is the most successful one in the Asian Football Confederation and has at its best ranked 3rd for FIFA women's ranking. We'll see how these teams fare as their opponents get tougher and the stakes get higher.
Definitely. I believe that the women's team just recently also, they didn't win, but I think they got pretty far in the Women's World Cup as well this year, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully they can ride some of that energy into these qualifiers. Are you a soccer fan at all today? Or I should say football.
I'm more of a basketball fan myself, honestly.
Ah, I see. I understand.
Yeah, how about you? You seem into soccer.
Yeah, a little bit, definitely. I'd say of team sports, yeah, it's definitely one of the more enjoyable ones. I always keep my eyes out for volleyball as well. I know Japan is quite strong there too, but it's one of my guilty pleasures to try and seek out volleyball matches when I can.
Right. The only sports I do is...
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I'm not really familiar with the Japanese team. I know UK and Australia have great teams, but I haven't really seen news about Japan. Maybe I just haven't been following.
No, I think you're right. I don't think I've really heard anything out of Japan from them either. But wow, that's really cool. Have you ever gotten to see it, you know, like a live competition for sailing?
Oh, not really. Just regional stuff. Nothing global.
Okay. Oh, I see. Maybe someday. Maybe Paris 2024 is your shot.
Sure, why not?
Well, continuing on a few of our headlines here. Japan's economy has been recovering at a quote-unquote moderate pace for a while now. However, new signs are pointing to a pause in some of the sectors. The reasons, surprisingly, do not solely have to do with investment, but also consumption, says a cabinet office official. While there has been a second quarter of significant decrease in business investment, private consumption, especially of durable goods, has been reported to have fallen due to inflation and issues with suspensions in certain automobile plants. Service providers also apparently are not reflecting higher costs and prices. Japan still remains the world's third largest economy behind the US and China. This is a problem for me specifically, as I am still being paid on Japanese dollars. So I would love for the Japanese economy to... The yen has been so weak, which is great when you travel from anywhere outside of Japan to Japan, because your money goes a lot further. But it's very not good when you are paid in yen.
Yeah, I know the feeling. The Turkish lira has been honestly dying.
Oh, no.
You know, I see. I mean... Inflation is a huge problem here, and you know, the devaluation of the Turkish lira. It used to be like in 2017, it was like one United States dollar was 7 Turkish lira, I think, and now it's like 29 almost. So, yeah, it's quadruple.
Oh, goodness, you aren't kidding. Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, I guess I shouldn't complain so much then.
No. I mean, economy. Globally isn't really on a great trend right now, so
let's hope it turns around for
yeah,
all of
hopefully.
Us at some point.
Well, next up, there have been discussions underway that'll enable Japan to export more US licensed defense equipment that's produced in Japan to the United States. The other question rolls around whether or not the US should be able to export the equipment, then to other countries as well as an intermediary. They have ruled out countries of conflict, such as Ukraine, as possible destinations of exportation. They plan to discuss and implement further ways of granting consent and reporting.
Despite some officials' reluctance to drastically increase restrictions on exporting, they are obliged to agree and loosen them out of respect for their alliance with the US, as well as out of the benefit and concern for the safety of Japan itself. Yeah, that's another interesting. I know that JAXA, the Japan... Aeronautic Exploration Agency, I think is what it is. I know that they've had kind of a string of wonderful discoveries with their equipment, so it is interesting to hear that they're having some issues with, you know, being able to get the equipment out for for a new project or something, as it were, if this is potentially what that would be for.
Right. You know what I find interesting? How all of these different companies like Mitsubishi and, I know, perhaps even Yamaha. It's the same in the United States as well. We know them as like car manufacturers or, you know, electric appliances. But then they also have a huge role in the defense industry, like the H-2A rocket. It is done by the Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. I just find it interesting, like, you know, that's more prevalent in the United States, but... It's just surprising to see the name of a company that you're acquainted with. Maybe you even use their products at home to see their name on like a rocket or like a weapon.
Yeah, it's a bit jarring, isn't it?
Yeah.
in some cases, yeah, I can definitely get that. Like, it just goes to show the power of, I guess, branding and brand recognition. I shouldn't say brand recognition, but how one image can, yeah. Kind of give way to another in a different context.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. And I didn't know that, yeah, the H-2A was under the Mitsubishi, or was it Zaibatsu?
Yeah.
Zaibatsu, that's what it is, I think. They're a big holdings company. Well, that will take us to the end of our headlines coming out of Japan and into our first section of music to kind of break up some of our sections here today. And our first song that we have for our listeners is one by a band that I quite love. It's Shishamo, with one of their newer songs from this month, actually, called Inu Kokoro. And this will be the acoustic version, so I hope you enjoy.
Doki doki kenka shite. ドキドキ押し食べて季節を感じる葉っぱが髪に触れて少しかがんで歩いて間抜けな君が今日も
Sure.
喧嘩して私も笑ってしまってどうでもよくなって笑う笑うんだすれ違う犬頃が君を振り返る君がそのまぶた閉じる時私と
That again was Shishamo with In Kokoro, and Shishamo, usually stylized their name with all caps, is a three-piece band that originally formed in high school amongst its members in 2010. However, they did not begin to release music until 2012.
The group is named after a common type of fish eaten in Japan, and originally they would stylize their name using the kanji for Shishamo until they decided to romanize it.
I have to tell you, Shishamo is one of my favorite fish in Japan. They are just so... Sometimes they would come in the school lunches and things when I was working as a teacher, and it was always my favorite day, as a side note.
Yeah, never had it, I wouldn't know. But I'll take your word for it.
Yes, if you're a fish fan, definitely, I recommend. So, sidebar aside, in 2018, that marked their first overseas tour. They played largely at festivals, but had started playing at them increasingly more, actually right so after their graduation from high school.
The original bassist, Aya Matsumoto, had promised already in high school to quit when she turned 20. So the new bassist, with a very similar name, Aya Matsuoka, replaced her.
You think they did that on purpose?
I know. I mean, it'd be weird if they did.
It would be really weird if they did. But I guess it makes it easier. They don't have to change any of their merch. They can still say, you know, Aya and...
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. It was a nice, I would say, an easy song. It was very pleasant to listen to. And I love all their stuff. I kind of have more of a, I don't want to say classic rock, but more of a, you know, just standard rock kind of sound in my mind for them. So getting to hear more of an acoustic sound was nice. Is this your first time listening to Shishamo?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and I really like their vocals.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, what other songs from them would you recommend, if you have any?
I suppose I would probably recommend, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but maybe Boku wa Kanojo ga Dekita? That is definitely one that they've gotten quite popular for. So, well, without further ado, I guess we can round up our discussion on Shishamo and get back into a little bit of our news. The next section will be all about the otaku, as we'll feature our otaku news, and we'll start at the head with our gaming news. So our first, you know, I guess, news title headline out of this is AI is all the rage now, but gaming might not be ready. So to go along with that, gaming might not be ready for the implementation of generative AI. They have been experimenting with it for a while now, but certain issues are getting in the way. Developers are not sure of its practicality and benefits, whether it will be useful or not, but also many legal issues such as copyright have been coming up as well.
There are companies like Koei Tecmo, who have been using algorithmic AI for a while now. However, they, along with many others, are having troubles transitioning into generative AI, which is used to generate images, text, and many other things that'd be useful in increasing a game's content size and playability. Me, personally, I appreciate that generative AI has not taken off in gaming. But when you say generative AI, there's like, you know, there are games like Minecraft, with which you could use AI to generate levels or chunks as you explore, you know, sort of sandbox games and other stuff like that. But when have you heard of the DALL-E? I think you pronounce it DALL-E or like DALL-E 2, OpenAI's image generation model.
Yeah, DALL-E. Mm-hmm.
When you just take like an anime character from an image generator like that and slap it onto your game, it doesn't really seem appealing to me.
Yeah, there's something kind of uncanny about the way that current AI models and programs are able to generate images. And I mean, let alone some of the problems that are faced with, obviously, you know, the characters and things that they have to borrow. So copyright, I know, is huge. There's a lot of copyright law in Japan presently that has made AI there, like progress there, to be quite difficult.
Right, that's true. And you know, they train these models on real images by real people, so like real artists. So you'd have to have like 1,000 images of Mario to train a model to draw a Mario character. And we all know how strict Nintendo is with their copyright stuff. Yeah, and you know, copyright with generative AI is also a huge problem outside of Japan as well. Valve has been removing games that use AI-generated images from the Steam store.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just think until the technology is there, it's kind of hard to, you know, put my money behind something like that, or not even my money, just my thought process, without risking the artist's value and whatnot. I mean, let alone, you know, any of the other issues that we kind of brought up earlier.
Well, it's hard because, you know, the content that AI produces could take away from an artist's job. But again, it's hard to capture that innate human creativity. And as you said, AI does come up with pretty uncanny stuff every now and then.
Well, without dwelling too far on the uncanniness of AI and what that says for our current games and things, why don't we get into some other exciting gaming news? Next on our little list, we have the Sega Autumn Sale. So Sega just launched their Autumn Sale, which will last until November 29th, which might be over by now. But you can get up to 85% off select games, including titles such as Persona, Warhammer, and even Sonic. The sale is taking place on Steam, so be sure to check out other Japanese companies like Arc System Works as well, as they are sure to have crazy deals going on currently as well. I know a lot of my personal favorites are also going on sale, and I will have to be very vigilant in getting some of those deals that are available to us right now. I feel like it's not just Sega, but you know, a broad swath of company that we are lucky to enjoy, all of us, you know, hoping to get some deals.
Great. And up next, we have the new Jujutsu Kaisen game, Curse Clash. New characters and trailers are being revealed from Bandai Namco and developer Viking for the upcoming game, Jujutsu Kaisen, Curse Clash. This is coming with the ongoing release of the Jujutsu Kaisen anime's second season, which has odd fans all over the world. The newest trailer revealed characters such as Kento Nanami, Mojito, and Eso and Keichisu. The game is set to release on February 1st, 2024.
Well, I feel like this can be more timely as I just have been seeing lots of news about Jujutsu Kaisen recently all over the internet. This is coming at a very good time for the fans of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, both the newest anime season and the newest manga chapters have been going crazy.
Yeah, and without getting too spoilery, I suppose, I don't want to, you know, ruin it for anyone, but there was definitely some big events, mm-hmm. real-world events right. happening, which is something I haven't seen in a long time, happening around an anime or a manga in this way, where, you know, people were out in Tokyo actually handing out physical flyers and things like this in service of, you know, promotion or reaction to the newest sections of the series. Again, without spoiling anything, I don't want to, you know, put that out into the universe for anyone who hasn't witnessed it yet.
I have heard about that. Is it related to, I think, Shibuya?
Yes, and yeah, I mean...
right, no spoilers.
I know it's really exciting for anime fans to get a release like that. It's always a big event. But I do know, like, I think it's Namco and Bandai. They also make Tekken 8, which is another, obviously, big gaming franchise and series, one of the flagships. And I do believe that is also coming out relatively soon. I haven't looked it up, but I think it's somewhere around the corner. So it still counts as, you know, part of our current news cycle, as it were. But that's another exciting thing just around the corner for fans.
I think it's coming out in late January.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So that will definitely be, you know, right around the corner. Exciting gaming news. Well, on the note of anime news, or I should say anime games with the Jujutsu Kaisen game, why don't we move on to the other section of our otaku news, which is anime related. And our first headline is none other than Anime NYC 2023. So Anime NYC took place over November 19th to the 23rd, again, already happened, and a great deal of exciting announcements were made, along with many artists, actors, and cosplayers from Japan. Many new anime were announced to either target their first season next year or even a sequel. And for example, the Great Pretender series on Netflix will get a sequel called Great Pretenders Nas Bryuto, which can mean confused or sentimental, and which honestly are very disparate ideas in my mind, but nevertheless, it picks up on Dorothy's story where it left off. So Crunchyroll will host a special screening in the US for this sequel, which will probably have several short episodes like the previous first season. And this is huge news if you are me specifically, because I absolutely love this series.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, it actually caught me off guard when I first watched it. I quite enjoyed it a lot more than I anticipated. So I'm very much looking forward to this.
Right, me too. I was sort of underestimating it while starting, but yeah, it really surpassed my expectations.
Yeah, so definitely there'll be a lot to look forward to with a whole second season coming through.
And another popular anime series, Seven Deadly Sins, will be getting a new arc on Netflix. It'll be called Four Nights of the Apocalypse and will release on January 31st of next year.
Here's what Anime News Network has to say about it. Maki Odaira of Pokemon Journeys, the series fame, is directing the anime at Telecom Animation Film, with Shigeru Murakoshi, known for work on I'm Quitting Heroing and Zombieland Saga, is overseeing and writing the series scripts. Additionally, we have Yuichi Takada, who is a key animator for Lupin the Third Part 5, as well as Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, both beautiful series, is the character designer, and Hiroyuki Sawano and Kota Yamamoto are going to be composing the main theme for Seven Deadly Sins. Yamamoto is also composing the music in general, and finally, Unlimited Produce by TMS is in charge of production and planning. Now, unfortunately, this is something that I don't have a very deep background in, but have you seen or heard anything about this, Kuze?
Yeah, me neither. I haven't watched it, but I've heard that the first season is great and then the anime sort of fell in quality in the later seasons.
Yeah, that's something that I remember hearing. I had friends who were very deep into it.
But it seems like they'll be picking up from where they left off. So, I mean, this seems like good news.
Yeah, sure. Definitely for fans of the series, that's always a good thing.
In other news, One Piece Film Red has recently surpassed Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone as Japan's sixth highest earning film with about 20.33 billion yen, which is approximately 137 million United States dollars. The film has already surpassed Howl's Moving Castle as number 5 in Japan's best-selling anime film, as well as its number 4 spot in the global best-selling anime film. The film also led the Japan box office for the year of 2022, and it is by far the best-selling film in the One Piece franchise.
Is One Piece something you... Have you seen this, or is One Piece something you've gotten into, Kuze?
No, I do believe I've already said this once on this podcast, but I tried getting into One Piece, and it's great, but I just don't have the time to read 1,099 chapters.
I mean, honestly, who has the time? It's just such an undertaking, absolutely. But well worth it, I hear, at least. And obviously, it's doing well without two people viewing it.
Yep.
Well, without further ado, why don't we kind of get into our next break of music in our episode. We're going from One Piece Red to another very colorful band. This will be the Yokuo Shoku Shakkai, their song Summertime Cinderella from July 24th, 2023.
Start.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That again was Kyokyo Shoku Shakkai with Summertime Cinderella. Kyokyo Shoku, meaning, of course, you know, kind of yellow green. That it's literally green yellow color in the kanji for their name, and Shakkai is society, so maybe the light green society or something like this. They, of course, are a four person band who popularly goes by their nickname, Yoku Shakkai, which is a lot easier to say. And this nickname is even the official website, the title and the name that they use for their official band website as well. So just goes to show you that I'm not the only one who might struggle a little bit with this name.
I think there is a story behind how they got their name. It was something to do with vegetables, I guess. Well, in this song, Haruko Nagaya is on the vocals. Issei Kobayashi is on the guitar. Pepe is on the keyboard, and Shingo Anami is playing bass.
Yes, and like many of the bands we feature here, they also met in high school, including the members Nagaya, Kobayashi, and Pepe, all except for Anami, who was Kobayashi's childhood friend, which is also a nice little connection.
They made music for anime, TV series, as well as movies. Their song, Mela, has gathered over 200 million streams.
Yes, and Nagaya's voice is very unique and captivating, but of course, everyone's artistry helps contribute to their widespread success. What a perfect summer song. I wish I had been listening to it a bit more. is this something that you've been interested in, Kuze?
Yeah, I've actually been listening to this quite a few times over the summer.
You. I wish I would have...
It had found its way in my playlist.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, it was quite good.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat song.
Well, kind of rolling on into a little bit more of our, you know, news stories and other news stories specifically coming out of Japan. Our next topic is a little bit about Japanese comic ebooks. So Oricon NE conducted a survey with over 10,000 e-comics readers in Japan to see what age groups are the most prevalent. The results were quite surprising, actually. It turns out that many people in their 50s are the highest population of e-comic subscribers, and those in their teens are least likely to subscribe. This may be due to the uptick in smartphone usage from generations like those in their 50s. However, pirating comics, disc online, is a process ubiquitous amongst teens nowadays, which may explain why they have simply less subscriptions. And this is a big disclaimer. Please do not pirate manga or content. Please pay the authors for their hard work. If you are, of course, able to, that is. I cannot recommend that highly enough or suggest.
Right. I know for a matter of fact that manga pirating is unfortunately quite popular, and that theory does explain it. Young people know their way around the internet and know where to get things for free, and they might just not have the money, I guess, if we're talking teens.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, that is a huge factor to also consider, especially like teens in Japan, you know. But yeah, I'm not sure what else might be causing, you know, such a wide gap.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's also a matter of availability in certain countries.
Yeah, that's very true. Just language availability is a huge thing to consider. You know, the one fan making a fan translation in your home country or your home language makes all the difference for a lot of those, you know, kind of materials and whatnot.
Next up, we have news on a new volcanic island. 1 hour south of Iwate lies a volcano that has remained active at least since November 16th. The island is so far about 400 meters by 200 meters in size, and experts say that if this activity continues, the island will remain for quite a long time. The volcano has had several violent eruptions, which were spotted by planes that are flown by and surveyed. Great, new land.
Yes, exactly. Actually, the way I found out about this is someone I know from Japan was posting on Twitter about this news, and she was saying, like, in her post, like, oh, this is my new Animal Crossing island coming up, so everyone, please feel free to join once I finish.
Wow. Yeah, that's creative.
Yes, it is very funny to see a lot of the memes and things come up about this specific news story, but...
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it'll be permanent. Yeah,
perhaps not.
It just says quite a long time, but would that be years or months? Probably years, honestly.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Hard to say. Well, we can enjoy it regardless. In this section, we'll wrap up with a bit of, not dark, but a little bit disturbing news. An app used to create fake political audio recordings. An online app has been made that utilizes generative AI, once again, to synthesize voice recordings of Prime Minister Kishida, as well as former prime ministers as well. Experts and officials worry at the potential harm and misinformation that will come from this app, particularly how it will interfere with elections. All users have to do is input a sentence into a text box, and the quote-unquote prime minister will speak verbatim what was input into the, you know, into the system.
A lot of online AI speech synthesizers also are trained on podcasts, so maybe you might see our voices being used against us one day. Say things we haven't said. Not to give the audience any ideas, of course.
Exactly. That's horrible. You're gonna say, like, oh, I love that song, even though I really didn't, or whatever, what have you. But yeah, this is something quite alarming for a number of reasons, but it reminds me of some of the other, I guess, technology that has been developing recently concerning facial software and things like that.
Deepfake?
Yeah, I couldn't remember the term, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Just that combined with this, is just, there has to be a lot more regulation for these kind of things in order for us to, you know, progress and find our way, you know, navigating these new technologies.
Yeah, a lot of new terms coming into our lives and a lot of buzzwords. I mean, deepfakes didn't exist, like, I guess 10 years ago. And yeah, seems like they'll be a pretty ubiquitous problem now. I mean, hope not, but anyways, that's why we need regulations.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, taking a break from the news, we have Masanori Otoda's Fake Face Dance Music, released on July 11th, 2023. された夜に流れたメロディーから待ってるのに愛はほどけてゆくいつだってソーリー隠蔽したがってるのに Fake Face Dance Music 夜明けまで踊っている伝って情緒不安定ないことあることも言っちゃってんだ行き場のないこの世界では稀に見かける愛を信じ続けてる朝食がてらのバカバカしいニュースで誰かが笑ってたその時からなのか知ってる世界じゃなくなっていた本当におかしな人生でそれでも愛した目であなたにこの心をハイジャックされた可愛くなると
ovako ovako vi te come on is it for god ni se malare te mamaru to ka kimi shikami te nai to ka imarete mo chinyo nai na yomikagete ru no ni ano ko ni muchu de karamatte ru no ni ai ga suri dakete ku chiku daku chiku daku to tokei no hari dake ga nagarete ku oite kanai de ne honto wa yume mita soshi so i can just take ni wa kitai wa sonde
That was Fake Face Dance Music by Masanori Otoda. Masanori Otoda seems to be a fairly mysterious artist. On their biographies for social media platforms, they do not reveal much information, except for their latest releases and where you can listen to them.
They do, however, mention that they are currently 20 years old and based in Kyoto.
They have 1.5 million monthly listeners on Spotify, with their music video for this song reaching 14 million views.
Also, that was a pretty clever, you know, connection, Fake Face Dance Music with the app that we were just talking about, with the generative AI.
Well, yeah, interesting connection.
Yeah, but I mean, I really enjoyed this song. I think it was one of my favorites off of our selection today. It just was what I don't know how to describe it any other way than just kind of very good vibe music. It reminds me of an artist that came out a few years ago, or longer, but named Syrup, S-I-R-U-P, who still makes music. But it's just kind of that low tempo, vibrational, enjoyable music that I think really anyone can get into.
The MV seems to have pretty high production value, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it reminded me, like, it has that like really glossy quality. I know a couple of years back when Plastic Love got an official kind of re-release, they made this like city pop revival video with this similar kind of vibe there, and I really like that. I don't know, it reminds me of that a lot, and I enjoyed that as well, so I can, yeah, I agree with you, the MV is quite good.
Alright, you know, I really like that, the fact that city pop is so popular nowadays, because, you know, that's one of the genres that I enjoyed most.
Oh really? Oh, that's nice. Yeah, it's kind of incredible. I've even, you know, I'm surprised sometimes when I go out to my local record shops and stuff, I'll see even features there of those record shops, like having CDs and records and things of city pop, and it's always really exciting, a bit surprising too, but yeah, always good to enjoy, you know, more and more of the genre if we can. All right, well, continuing discussing some news, we have some music news headlines out of Japan, including some very exciting news for me personally concerning LAMP's new album. So the Japanese three-piece band that started in 2000, LAMP, has actually released a new album. And in an interview with the Japan Times, they have reflected on their increasing and steady success, such as their 2.3 million monthly listeners on Spotify and worldwide renown. Their new album, titled Dusk to Dawn, has 20 tracks that begin with one called Dusk and end with one called Dawn. It is apparently about the sensation of time going by and the subtleties of life, as the members of the group have all undergone big changes in life as they enter their mid-40s.
Well, it seems like you're quite fond of LAMP. I mean, me personally, I haven't really listened to them, but I did read the Japan Times article on them, which states that they have this sort of blend of 60s pop harmonies, 70s folkcraft, and 80s bossa nova brightness, which sounds really like my thing. Sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I would for sure recommend to check them out. They're a band that I go to kind of, they're like an, I guess I call them like an everyday band for me, because I often will put them on in the background when I'm cooking and things. So yeah, their sound is very exciting, and I'm very much looking forward to checking out this new album, this new project from them. I love the idea of, you know, any album that has kind of an overarching theme is always exciting to me. Well, do you want to bring us into our next headline?
Sure. On our second music news, Hiromi Uehara has a new band. Jazz pianist Hiromi Uehara has released the very first album with her new band called Sonic Wonder, with the album being titled Sonic Wonderland. Pretty creative. This new combo aims at producing more electric jazz music. Uehara has begun imagining this quartet as early as 2016, when her old trio's bassist had to be substituted, or during a Japan tour by Adrian Ferraud. She really liked his solo capabilities and groovy sound. And thus, the group had 12 performances during a US tour, which led them to recording their album.
Oh, that's exciting. Are you a fan of jazz or electronic jazz?
I don't know a lot of electronic jazz artists, but I am a fan of jazz. I especially like, you know, Miles Davis and Chet Baker. I'm a trumpet player, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I know a lot of trumpet players, but yeah, I do like jazz.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, maybe Sonic Wonder is a different direction, but yeah, that is exciting whenever jazz artists kind of break into other musical genres as well. I feel like they have, you know, a good hand at kind of switching things up and whatnot.
I've also been studying music theory, and, you know, jazz chords go crazy sometimes.
That is for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, jazz is pretty open to experimentation, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
It makes for some interesting music.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We can look forward to some exciting things from Miss Leha. Well, rounding out some of our music news here, the NHK World Japan Music Festival for 2023 took place last month, October 28th, where 18 of some of Japan's most popular artists took the stage and performed some of their newest and best works. The festival is even bigger than the Sounds of Tokyo Festival and will air domestically on January 3rd of the new year on NHK General TV. I'm jealous. I won't be able to see it. Also, one of the bands we featured previously, Yokyo Shoku Chakkai, also happened to be featured on this festival, as they are one of the hottest new rising bands in Japan. Yeah, that's exciting. I think the end of the year in Japan, and specifically popular music, the popular music industry in Japan is always really exciting, because you get kind of some of these festivals, and a lot of them are aired on television, you know, and obviously one of the other ones being Kohaku Utagasen, or the singing competition that happens every year at New Year's. So yeah, I'm always a bit jealous for the winter season when I'm not in Japan and I don't get to enjoy, you know, just seeing my favorite stars on TV.
Maybe Ryoko Shokushakai will play the song we just featured, Summertime Cinderella. I mean, it was a pretty popular song during the summer, but it's kind of the off-season to play it in early January, I'd say. Anyways, maybe they'll unveil a new song.
Wintertime Cinderella or something. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, speaking of music, we have a favorite of mine coming up. Trapped in the Past by Suyu, released on August 28th of 2020.
降った後の香りなんか思い出しそうでそれは実感の浪費ってなんでわからないかね今にしか見られなくてどうせ前だけが開けてそこに沿って進めばいいそう思うことにしたけど
Shut up.
That was Trapped in the Past by Tsuyu, which is written as Tsuyu in English in capital letters. Tsuyu consists of Pusu on guitar and Rei on vocals and Miro on piano.
Yes, and they formed June 12th of 2019 and are named after the rainy season, which is incidentally when the band was formed.
They have over 1.1 million YouTube subscribers, with all of their videos getting at least a million views. Their songs rank on Japan and foreign charts quite consistently too.
Yeah, and the music video for this song has a very cute CGI animation following a girl in high school, while most of their other videos have some sort of animation or artwork as well. Yeah, so you mentioned you're a big fan?
yeah, you could say that. I don't really follow their lore that much. I know that their music videos have these recurring characters and describe things that are happening to them. So there's like an overarching theme to their music.
Oh, interesting.
That explores certain themes. I may not be in the target demographic now that I'm thinking about it, but I still like their guitar sound and like their vocals. They are great songs. I mean, sometimes it's sentimental, sometimes it's more upbeat. But usually, they have pretty energetic guitar solo, which is one of the things I appreciate about Tsuyu the most.
Nice, yeah, no, I think a lot of that comes through. I mean, even in this song too, you get a good flavor of all the things you mentioned liking about them. Yeah, I'd like to check them out as well more. I know I say that about pretty much every artist we feature on here. I'm constantly learning about new artists through our podcast, which is wonderful for me. But yeah, it's exciting to explore and learn more. Well, I guess that will bring us to sort of the end of our episode here. We have one final topic and song to get into, but yeah, this is just kind of the odds and ends of our news stories that we've picked out for you. And yeah, so without further ado, why don't we get into it? Right up at the top, we are going to talk a little bit about Starbucks. over the Christmas season, Starbucks Japan will release the Melty White Pistachio Frappuccino, which can be bought for 678 yen or $4.56 USD. This will remain available from November 29th to Christmas, December 25th, as long as supplies last. So keep your eyes peeled for other holiday drinks soon to come. As we all know, Japan is, you know, quite known for having very distinct holiday flavors. So
I mean, pistachio flavored latte or frappuccino sounds nuts. Badumtus. Yeah, sorry about that.
Ooh, ooh. good one.
Yeah,
good
I
one.
Like pistachio.
I do too. And I love a good pun, so thank you for that.
Yeah, of course, anytime. Well, for our second news headline, we have Tartar Sauce Day. Tartar Sauce Day in Japan is celebrated every year on November 14th. But this time, there was a Guinness World Record set. 139 people gathered from over 30 businesses to break the record for most people squeezing a condiment bottle online simultaneously. They used the brand QP's tartar sauce for this event, although QP in Japan is generally known for mayo.
The reason why Tartar Sauce Day is on the 14th is so that on the calendar, it sits on top of Oyster Day, which is incidentally the 21st. That is very goofy and so very Japanese in my mind.
Yeah, I gotta love all those different food days.
Definitely. I don't have much to say other than what a bizarre headline. I mean, I feel like the Guinness World Book of World Records is always, they always have the most obscure records that they're breaking.
Yeah, certainly. Just, they always come up with new things. Who would think? That could be a record.
Certainly not me. But it is now, I guess, unless if JTOP 10 decides to dethrone that title somehow.
Keep your eyes peeled for an event where we squeeze tartar sauce.
Yeah, online simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we keep the news train rolling here? Our next topic will consider moraeru jihanki. So moraeru jihanki are vending machines, which is quote unquote, you can have what's inside the vending machine, and it's becoming more popular. There is a new one at the Tokyu department store in Tokyo's Kichijoji neighborhood that gives away its contents completely free of charge. There are no coin or card slots, but rather instructions to message the company through LINE. From there, you will be given instructions to take a survey, and once you've provided the code for the item inside that you want. Yeah, these machines also make money by different means, by gathering marketing data for companies to use for their current and future products. I'm very curious to know what kind of items they have for free inside of these vending machines.
You know, I'm more concerned about the marketing data part. You know, are they collecting customer data? Or, I mean, if, you know what they say, if it's free, then the customer is the product.
Yeah, that's...
Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you are definitely, you will be on an email list for the end of time. Yeah, you're 100% correct there. Nothing really free happens like that, so... I don't know. I kind of wish we had known about this one. We did an episode about vending machines recently, and yeah, this would have been an interesting one to talk about then, but so it goes.
Well, if there are any cats out there listening to this podcast, then this one's for you. Tatami scratching mats. Kumamoto-made mats for cats to scratch are now being produced, but they may blend in a little too well as they are also tatami mats. It is cleverly named the Oneko-sama, Senyo Mini Tatami, or the Mini Tatami for the exclusive use of their honorable lordships, the cats. They're selling for $45 online at Nihon, a traditional arts and crafts online store.
I feel like it's good to have the cats not scratch the actual tatami, but maybe it's like reinforcing that they'll just scratch the tatami if you have them.
Yeah, now that I think about it, might just be making them more prone to scratching tatami mat.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, to all the cats out there, hopefully you can enjoy that at some point if you're so lucky.
Yeah, you're welcome for the news.
Well, we are sadly at the end of our little odds and ends section of the news here, but on a final note, to calm us down, we will bring the meditation truck, and that is called the Mu Doom Ride. Mu being a word used in like Zen Buddhism and things to mean like nothingness and kind of like pause. So just background there. So the Mu Room Ride is currently underway in testing a new meditation truck that has a space with cool light, a seating cushion, sounds, and even a fog machine. They are aiming to be in full-scale operation by 2025 and will target mainly office workers and tourists, offering both 15 and 30-minute sessions. Kansai Innovation is the company that is in charge of these trucks and leading the project, while Panasonic has developed these rooms within the trucks. I could use one right now myself, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, same here. No stress never ends. It's nice to slow down and relax every now and then.
Yeah, why don't we do just that after a rather full news section with one final song here at the end. Would you like to take us out with the last introduction?
Sure thing. Our last song is Lady by Kenshi Yonezu, released on March 21st, 2023. Was Lady by Kenshi Yonezu. Yunizu is an independent artist who writes and composes all of his music. He, at one point, went by the name Hachi, but spelled with katakana rather than the kanji.
Yeah, he gained popularity under that name, Hachi, by releasing music as a Vocaloid musician. He does not perform live very often, and rather prefers to do online performances.
He takes perhaps some of the greatest influence by Susumu Hirasawa, and particularly his song Mother, which showed Kenshi a musicality he had never known before. In a radio interview, he said that although he respects Susumu Hirasawa, he would not want to meet someone he respects so much in person if he had the opportunity. So he has that never meet your heroes mentality going on.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess I should never meet Kenshi Yonezu then, because he is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Well, this song, Lady, has received 23 million views on YouTube, and he has almost 70 million subscribers as it is. So I guess not that I would even have an opportunity to meet Kenshi Yonezu, because I think there's many, many, many more dedicated fans than I that would be chomping at the bit to get a chance to meet him. Well, I guess that brings us completely to the end of our episode. Hopefully all of the news here that we presented was informative and insightful as it could be.
For our next episode, Miyabi and Shana will join you a few days from now to bring you the December Artists of the Month episode featuring the popular singer and songwriter Chihiro Onitsuka.
That will definitely be one to check out. Always excited to get another interesting Artist of the Month episode under our belt.
Well, thank you all for listening. This was episode 494, Japan Top 10 News Winter of 2023. We will see you in the next episode.
Yep. Stay safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the next one. Dane.
Bye. Japan Top 10.